Amen. All right, you can go ahead and be seated. Good to see everybody tonight. We're glad you're here. Hallelujah. Go with me to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, very familiar scripture we're going to talk about. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Now, you might not recognize just what I called off, but you'll recognize when I start reading. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Now, I want to read that in a couple other translations here because I want you to understand and see where we're going to with this. In Jeremiah 29:11 in the Good News Bible, it says, "I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for." In the New Living Testament, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So what I want us to see here, and I wanted to bring it in some other translations, is the fact that God absolutely positively has plans for every one of our lives. Things don't just happen by accident or by fate or by that kind of thing. God has plans. Now, we're going to see in a little bit that sometimes things change, but still God's plan is going to be brought to pass. And so for us, the thing we do is we make sure that we're staying on track with God, staying in the Word of God, staying faithful to God so that He can bring about that plan in our life. Now, you've got to understand that just because God has plans for your life doesn't mean you can't shipwreck that. I said you, not nobody else now. They can cause problems, they can cause things, but you're the only one that can shipwreck it. You're the only one that can destroy it by not being obedient to the Lord. Amen. God can want to bless you. And he does, the Word of God declares that. But I mean, He can have some great things in store and plans for you. But if you don't follow after Him, that plan can't come to pass in your life because of you. Come on, see, God cannot override your will, and He will not override your will to bring His plan to pass in your life. You've got to get into agreement with Him. Amen. See, we've got to understand that. A lot of folks think that it's going to happen automatically or God's just going to, if it's the will of the Lord, it's going to happen. No, God cannot override your will. You say, "Now, Pastor, I just don't believe that. I believe God can do it." I know God can do anything, but God is bound by His Word. And according to His Word, He gave us free will and a right to choose. Right? I mean, over in Deuteronomy, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you blessing, death, life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your family can live. What was he saying? If you don't choose life, then it's not going to happen. Right? See, and let me just give you one more since I want to prove the Bible says let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. God says this, or the Word says this. It says that God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So what that says is God's will is for everybody to repent. Right? That's God's will. Well, how many knows everybody don't repent? So you see, according to people's will, they can choose not to repent. They can choose to go to hell rather than go to heaven. You can choose to live the blessed life, or you can choose to live a terrible poverty life. Amen. That's what Stephanie was kind of talking about. You see, in our area, there is such an attitude and such a mentality about poverty and people don't believe in prosperity anymore, don't believe God wants to prosper. But that's just simply not true. Now, God, there's the shysters. There's always going to be shysters. There's always going to be those that are misleading and always in it for themselves. It's going to be that way. I mean, that's why most politicians end up corrupt. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good right there. You can take a lot of times a real good person can go in, but by the time they get ready to come out, there is so much corruption and so many things going on and so much temptation that they choose to do the wrong thing. They had the good intentions, but they ended up on the wrong track. Well, the Christians do the daggone same thing, right? A lot of Christians, they come into the kingdom of God and they have every intention of doing good, but then all of a sudden all this other stuff is going on. There's this temptation here, there's this and that, and they absolutely get off track and they get themselves messed up. So we have to make sure that we're following the Word of God. Now here's the thing. If you'll follow the Word of God and you'll fellowship with God and spend time in prayer with God, you'll stay in God's perfect will, and according to that, God can bring to pass in your life His perfect plan. Amen. See, you've got to understand that God is always working to make sure that you get blessed. He always wants the best for you. Amen. I'm going to show it to you here in the Scriptures. We'll look here just in a minute, but let me just show you here in Psalms first. In Psalms 37, verse 23, jump over there with me if you want to. Psalms 37, verse 23. Again, familiar scripture. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." He goes on, David says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So here, not only does it Jeremiah say that God has plans for us, but now here David writing in Psalms, he's telling us, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. In other words, God's got a plan for your steps. God's got something He wants to do. And notice that. And He didn't say that you'd stay on step all the time. He says, though we fall. There'll be times that you mess up. You are not perfect. But the wonderful thing is, He upholds you. In other words, God's right there. What you do is you repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up right there. And right back, it's just like you never missed a step with God. See, God's not one that holds grudges. We hold grudges. People hold grudges. Yeah, I remember when you did all that right there. God don't remember that. Because if you truly repented from your heart, it was thrown to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. So God doesn't remember that. When you study the Word of God, David is one of those. We just read his Psalm. Remember David? David's the one that was supposed to be out to war. Goes up on the roof of the house, sees a woman taking a bath over there. I really believe he knew what time she took a bath. He'd been laying around there a while, and probably wasn't his first time, but he sees her. He tells him, I want her. He's the king, so he can get what he wants. They go get her. She's another man's wife. He lays with her, gets her pregnant, has her husband come in from the war. He's faithful to David and faithful to God. He's out fighting for David, for the kingdom. Brings him in so that he can sleep with his wife, so that he can try to cover it up. But the man's got more honor than David has at the time. He says, I'm not sleeping with my wife. All the other guys, they're out there fighting. I'm paraphrasing, okay? They're all out there fighting. It would be wrong for me to come home and sleep with my wife and all that and them not get to. So he wouldn't. So David has to do something. Does this sound like a man after God's own heart? No, it sounds like now we're watching a murder mystery or something, doesn't it? But David then calls in to the guy, one of his captains, and says, listen, take him back out there. When you take him back, tell him to put him on the front line so he can get killed. Think about that. For this is a man after God's own heart. This is David doing this. Sends him out there. Word comes back. It's been taken care of. He's been killed. He got killed out on the front line. So David marries her. He takes her. But you know what? God knows what's going on. And he sent a prophet to her. The prophet starts telling him this little tale about one ewe lamb. you know, and David's, you know, just taking it all in. He says, well, you think that ought to be done? That rich man took that poor man's ewe lamb. He had plenty of them, but he took the only one that poor man had. What do you think ought to be done about it? He said, well, that man ought to die. And he looked at him and said, thou art the man. Wow. Thou art the man. Whew. Think about that for a minute. You are the man. Think about it. Isn't that amazing? You're the man, David. So David begins to repent. Finds out later that when the boy's born, he's going to die. David's sackcloth and ashes, you know. And people can't understand, why are you doing that? You know, why are you in sackcloth? Why won't you eat? What? And then the boy dies, and then he gets up, cleans himself up, and goes eating. They said, why did you do that? He said, well, I was hoping, I thought maybe while he was still alive, there was a chance God would spare him. But now that he's gone, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. And so, and then here's the reason I'm telling you the whole story is because of this. Now, when Solomon comes up and becomes king, he tells Solomon, if you'll follow me with your whole heart the way your dad's followed me with the whole heart, I'll bless you like I bless my dad, your dad. What? God made it sound like David never did anything. You know why? Because when David repented, God forgot about it. He didn't do anything. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. If we mess up, God is right there to forgive us, never to remember it again. The only way that it stays on you is if you allow it to. You have to learn how to forgive yourself. You got to realize that, hey, I'm not a perfect person, but if I mess up, I know the perfect one, and I'll go to him and I'll repent and I'll get back on track because my steps are ordered of the Lord. Right? My steps are ordered of the Lord. Now, just because our steps are ordered of the Lord, it doesn't keep the enemy from trying to interrupt them. Amen. The enemy will try to do things to try to thwart the plan of God in your life. And it's up to you to be wise, to be watching, and understand that the enemy does try to want to get you off sidetracked. Right? I mean, that's what he was doing in the garden when he was trying to go after Adam and Eve. He was really trying to destroy God's whole plan with mankind. His hope was probably that he would just destroy all mankind and it'd be over with. But God loved his creation. When he made man, he said it was good. God thinks you're good. Think about that one for just a minute. But that the enemy will try, but as he's trying, let me show you here. Go with me over to Romans. Look here. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So what am I trying to get across to you? Well, see, here's the thing. The Holy Ghost knows what's going on, even when you don't know what's going on. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, he's praying the perfect prayer, even though you don't even know how to pray sometimes. But then right in the middle of that, see why he's telling us that, then he turns around and says that God is always working all things together for good for us. So in other words, no matter what kind of situation is going on in your life, God's going to bring good out of that from some direction. Amen. See, that's why a lot of times maybe somebody dies, you know, and somebody will get saved maybe in a funeral or after that because they get to thinking about the Lord. And people say, well, you never know, the Lord might have killed them just so they'd get saved. That's ridiculous. No. He's not in the killing business. But what God is in the business of is taking a real bad situation and turning it around and bringing back his plan. working good right out of the middle of that bad situation. God didn't cause that, but God used that. You see, you've got to understand it's the devil that steals, kills, and destroys, right? So we've got to understand that while the devil's trying to mess with us, trying to get us sidetracked, trying to throw roadblocks in front of us, trying to dig pits in front of us and all that, you've got to realize that God's there moving obstacles for us even when we don't even know it. Amen. But ultimately, because God has a plan for us to bring us good, bring us prosperity, to give us a hope, give us an expected end, it says over there in Jeremiah, right in the middle of all that, God is bringing to pass His plan too. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you go to Genesis chapter 37, and then from chapter 39 on up to about 47, you'll read the story of a boy or a man, well, really a boy 17 years old starting out, Joseph. Anybody know the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors? Dolly Parton wrote a song about it. Joseph was the favorite of Jacob because he was the youngest at the time. And, of course, apparently Joseph, I really believe that Joseph might have been just a little bit petted, you know, because he liked to egg his brothers on. Not the younger kids do that, you know. But he begins to, he's a favorite, and the other brothers, they know he's a favorite. And so he has some dreams, and Joseph dreams a dream. He goes out right straight to his brothers, even though he knew that they didn't like him much because he was favorite. He said, "I dreamed a dream." "Oh, what you dream, dreamer?" And he said, "Well, I dreamed that we was out in the field making sheaves, and my sheaves stood up and your sheaves bowed down to my sheaf." "Well, yeah, you know, that went over big with the brothers." "Well, yeah, you think we're going to bow down to you?" And so he goes on a little bit later and he comes back and he said, "I dreamed another dream." And they said, "What are you dreaming this time, dreamer?" He said, "Well, I dreamed that the sun and the moon and the stars, the 12 stars, bowed down before me." And even his daddy got in on that one and said, "What are you saying, son? All of us are going to end up bowing before you?" You know, like that. But the Bible says the rest of them scoffed him. But Jacob, he kind of kept that. He considered. Remember when the Bible talks about when after the shepherds leave Mary, she pondered them things in her heart. That's kind of what Jacob's doing here. But anyway, the guys are down. They're out with the sheep. The older brothers are. The dad says, "Won't you go down and check out the brothers? See how everything's going." He goes down there and has to hunt them down. When they find him, they look and say, "There comes the dreamer. Let's just kill him." Now think about it. This is his brothers. And once they speaks up and said, "No, let's not kill him. Let's just go over here. There's a pit over here. We'll just drop him over in that pit, leave him in the pit." And his intentions was to put him in the pit. When the brothers weren't around, he was going to get him out and get him back to his dad. But while he was in the pit, there was some travelers came through and the older one running around. And so the other brother said, "Well, I tell you what, let's still let us kill him. Let's just make some money on him. Let's sell him in." And so they sold him in and took him down into Egypt. Now, I'm showing you something here, okay? This is the story of Joseph. He gets down to Egypt. He's sold into slavery there under Potiphar. But here's the thing. Even though Joseph's been put in a pit by his brothers with them planning on killing him, he's now been sold down, taken, he's become a servant in Egypt, he's still following God. Because God begins to bless him there in Potiphar's house. To the point that Potiphar saw God was blessing him and put everything he had under the hands of Joseph. Everything he had. He didn't even know what he had. He was taking care of all. Potiphar didn't have to do anything. Joseph took care of it all. And God blessed him and blessed the ones that he was around. See, that's the kind of person you want to be around. Somebody's God's blessing. Come on, I want to be that blessed person that everybody, when they get around me, get blessed. Amen. So he's doing it. But see, you, like I said, the devil is always trying to do something. And so after a while, Potiphar's wife got her eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." And Joseph looked at her and said, "Listen, my master does not even know what he's got. Everything he has is under my hand except you. And I'm not going to do this thing against God." That's what he said. He didn't say, "I'm not going to do this against my master." He said, "I'm not going to do this thing against God." And she just kept pressing him, you know, lie with me different times. And finally she caught a time when there was no men in the house, and she tried it again. And Joseph had to run. He had to get away from her. And when he did, left his coat, she pulled his clothes off from him about it. And so when he left then, she starts hollering, you know, haul the men, get in there and stuff. Oh, this servant, this guy out here, this Jew that Potiphar brought in the house, he tried to take me, you know. And so he's lying. She's lying about the rape. She tells her husband, he's lying about it. And he has been put in prison. When he gets to the prison, guess what God does? God blesses him. And the Bible says that in that sect of the prison, that Joseph was in charge. The jailer put him in charge of the other people. And it was a part where the important people went to. Because the butler and the baker of Pharaoh ended up, because he got mad at them, they both ended up in the same place. The Bible says they dreamed dreams and nobody, they were concerned about them. David interprets the dream, tells one, this is what's going to happen in 3 days. Pharaoh's going to restore you. The other one, 3 days, you're going to cut your head off and hang you up. And he told the one that was going to live, he said, you make sure you remember me when you get out of here. 2 years pass. 2 years, and then Pharaoh has some dreams. And he gets all of his enchanters and all those to interpret the dreams. Nobody can interpret what's going on. And all of a sudden, the baker goes, or the butler, the one reaching him his cup. He says, oh, I've made a bad mistake. I was supposed to tell you about when you got mad at us one time, throwed us in jail. There was a guy down there, and he interpreted our dreams, and he said, you saved me and killed him just like he said. And he said, we'll bring him up here. And so they dressed Joseph up, got him up, brought him out, and he comes up to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh begins to tell his dreams, and man, he says, now listen, I'm not a dream interpreter. But God is. It's not me, but it's God, he says. And so he just starts whipping off to Pharaoh. This is two dreams. It's all the same dream. This is what's going to happen. And he talks about the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of famine. And he's telling about it. And he says, here's what you ought to do, Pharaoh. He said, you ought to, in those 7 years, you need to be laying up in store, getting ready for the 7 years of famine. And it won't affect you any. You need to find you somebody to take care of this business for you and get this done, because this is what God says is going to happen. Pharaoh apparently just looks around and says, anybody in this country any better than this right here? And he put him in charge. And you know what he said? He said, I'm putting you in the charge next to me. The only place that I'm over you in the land of Egypt is just in my throne. Everything else that's taken care of in the Egypt, it'll be you that's over it. Everybody will answer to you. Everybody will bow to you. And can you think about that? Now, this is Joseph the Jew. Okay? So it so happens, it goes in, he does what the Lord had instructed and put into his heart to do. They laid back for the 7 years, and then when the famine came, people started getting hungry. They were coming in and they were buying and getting grain off from them. Joseph was taking care of business. And guess who shows up? His brothers. Because Dad said, I hear they got stuff down in Egypt. Why don't you go down and see if you can't buy us some food? Because everybody was starving. It was famine time. They couldn't raise nothing. And things wasn't going. And so they go down there. And of course, Joseph recognizes them. And he plays some tricks on them. He gives them food, puts their money in their bag. They go back. Now they're afraid. They don't know what to do about it. And so they go back down there. And he's kept one of the brothers back as a surety for them to come back. And what he does when they go back down there, they tell you, hey, listen, we did not take this money. This money was back in our bag, but we brought it back plus more money we want to buy. And Joseph knows what's going on. He says, by the way, y'all got a younger brother. Your dad had any kids lately? You know, he don't even know about Benjamin. And they begin to tell him, yeah, we've got a Benjamin. The other brother died, they said. And they're looking at him. The other brother, he died, but he's got a younger son now, Benjamin. He said, well, bring him down here. I want to see him. And they said, oh, we couldn't ever do that. Dad wouldn't ever let him come down and say, he said, if you want food from here, you'll bring him down with you when you come. They go back and tell their father, and he says, you know, if something happens to him, you might as well kill me because I'm going to die. One of the brothers says, you know what? I'll be a surety for him. If he tries to do something to him, I'll put myself in his place. They can kill me, do with me, make me a slave, whatever they want to do. But we'll make sure we keep him safe. It's the only way we can get food. And so when they go back this time, they get down there and he tricks them again, brings them back. But all of a sudden he's got now that brother saying, listen, I told my dad that if you tried to do anything to the younger son, I would put myself there. And he's telling the whole story, and Joseph just breaks and he has to run and cry. And then after a while he's broken. Everybody in the house is shearing him and he's crying, and he tells them, he says, I'm Joseph. Don't be mad at yourself. Don't feel bad because of what you did to me. Because God has brought me here to save you all. Now think about this. And I'm telling you the whole story because I want you to see that even though Joseph was placed in a pit, sold into slavery by his brothers, accused of rape by his master's wife, thrown in jail, forgotten about for 2 years, he still ended up right where God wanted him to be. Even though the enemy had come against him. Now, you've got to know that wasn't God making his brother sell him. But God was working all things together for good to bring about the plan he had for Joseph. See, Joseph didn't just save himself. He saved all Israel. Because he sent, and he went to Pharaoh and said, listen, my family's come down. And Pharaoh says, well, bring them on down. Tell them to come on down here to Egypt. I'll give them land. I'll give them. And Pharaoh, he loved Joseph so good that he brought all of Israel down and put them over in the land of Goshen and let them be herders and let them do what they needed to do. And they were blessed. Even though the enemy had tried to stop Joseph, God still brought it to pass. So what I'm trying to tell you is that it doesn't matter if the enemy tries to stop you. It doesn't matter if you're running up against obstacles. If you'll stay with God, and Joseph did. He did. When he got Potiphar's house, he said, I won't do this against God. When he got in the jail, he was saying, I'm not an interpreter, but God is. When he got to Pharaoh, I'm not an interpreter, but God is. And he stayed with God the whole time. And then he said, this is what God says. So he never left following God, even though he went through all that. See, a lot of times Christians, when they go through a little something, right? First thing they want to do, and it blows my mind. First thing they want to do is get mad and quit church. Quit church. Quit going to church. Where do you think you're going to go to get help? Ain't somebody besides God that can help you? See, that's the thing. They go away from God. But see, that's the enemy's plan, is to get people to quit church. You don't want to do that. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get more blessed by staying home. You're not going to have more protection by staying home. Come on, there's not safety in home. There's safety in the Lord. Come on, because He's your shield and buckler, right? He's your rear guard. So the thing you ought to do when you're having some problems, if there's something going on, you need to run to God, not away from God. Come on, folks. You see, and so we got to understand that. The enemy will try to do things, right? He will. And here's the thing. God, right in the middle of why he's trying to do things, is working things around him. And the devil don't even know it. You get that? God, even though it looks like... Think about Paul. You know, Paul looked at the things that Paul went through, but he stayed faithful to God. And he ends up, you know, in his own house, preaching the gospel still. Right? You say, well, yeah, no, but what about Jesus? Look what God did to bring Jesus to the place that his perfect plan was fulfilled. Brought him here, born in a stable. Plan of God, because God didn't want it to look like a king had come. He wanted the people to see that even from the lowest stable can come a mighty king. He goes through all the persecutions of the people. Amen. They loved him one minute and hated him the next, right? He goes through and his own people reject him. The Jewish people reject him, right? They actually are the ones that got him crucified. They got him beaten. It's in the garden that Jesus says, Lord, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Not my plan, God, but your plan come to pass. The devil is there pushing it all. And finally, he's crucified. And there's no doubt that the devil probably had a little celebration there. Thought he had done it. He thought it was over with. But you see, it wasn't. Because the moment Jesus said it's finished, guess who came knocking on the devil's door? I'm here, Satan. I've come to get the keys. Come on. I've come to pay the price for every one of those people up there that you would like to bring down here. I've come to make a way for every one of them to go to the heaven you were cast out of. I brought God's plan to pass. Thank you for helping me, by the way. Thank you for pushing this all on, because now God's plan is fulfilled. Now they've got a way to go to heaven if they'll believe on me. You see, God brought His plan to pass even though there were some bad things that happened. And you've got to understand that. Just because something bad happens, don't let it shipwreck you. Don't let it cause you to back away from God. Make sure you push into God. Because it's not God. God doesn't do bad stuff to you, folks. God wants to bless you. He has all good intentions. It's the enemy that keeps throwing in the monkey wrench, as they say. You just stay with God. Let God fight with you and for you. Sometimes you've got to just make a stand, right? Come on, most of the time that stand's just got to be a stand in faith. Standing on the Word. I believe God, it'll be... Remember Paul when he's about to get shipwrecked? The hurricane's going and he comes out to him. He says, Angel of the Lord appeared to me, said, we're all going to be all right. I believe God whom I serve. It'll be just like he said. Because he knew God couldn't lie. God can't lie. His Word's true. And if we'll stay with that Word and stay on track with that Word, I promise you, God's working things out for you. And you're going to find out how blessed you are, because His plans are to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. That's what He says in Jeremiah. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Father, we thank You, bless You, and praise You, God, that You have plans for us. And Your plans...